I want to talk tonight seven characteristics of a disciple, one who knows how to do warfare, engages in warfare. I've been kind of reluctant, and the Lord has had me closed off today just seeking Him, and one thing I had to do is repent, because one of the things that I'm sometimes reluctant to talk about is demonic things. I don't know why, but people get all kind of, they look at you weird when you talk about demons. It's okay to talk about angels. You can talk about angels. Everybody likes angels because they're nice and they got the wings and, you know, they flap around and they're sweet, you know. They come and announce births and, you know, set the captives free and bring an army and all that good stuff. Isn't that good stuff? Well, just as real as angels are, demons are real. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Demons, number one, demons aren't fallen angels. There's a big argument in the annals of church history as to where demons come from, because demons have a penchant to attach themselves to human beings or to bodies, even animals. Remember when Jesus was casting out all the host of demons in the Gadarene demoniac? He said, we're many, and we don't cast us into the pit, cast us into something else, cast us into those pigs over there. And no angel has a penchant to be embodied in anything but an angel. So demons, some people say demons come from a pre-Adamic race of people that existed before Eden. And there's a big thing about that. And I don't want to get into all the theology based on that. But demons are very real. They're disembodied spirits. Where they come from is arguable. But suffice it to say, they're very real, and they want to possess bodies, and they want to possess areas, and they want to have control over cities, counties, states, regions. They have a penchant for that, and they're very organized. Paul tells us that, and we'll talk about it a little bit in Ephesians. He says there's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. So there's ranks of demons. How many know there's ranks of demons? And we've got to be able to take authority over them. We have got, Christ has given us authority over all, my Bible says, over all the power of the enemy. But I got news for you. It won't go away if we ignore it. In fact, the enemy wants us to do just exactly that. If we ignore him, he can work and do his evil, and we don't know anything about it until it's too late. Case in point, 2016, United States. Case in point. Oh, you don't have to go very far to see demonic activity. Come on, somebody. So we want to talk about that tonight. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you've made us your disciples. Lord, I thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. So number one, I bind all fear. I bind any condemnation. I bind all that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that everyone within earshot of me is saved, born again. Father, with that package, with that covenant comes great power and authority that you've given us. Father, some realizing it for many years, some just walking into it, some not yet aware of the authority that they have. Lord, wherever we're at on that scale, Father, that we would come forth in power and victory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Not only individually, but corporately and in this area. Father, I know for a fact that there's warfare going on over this house, God. And you're giving us victory, but Lord, we need to be on call. We need to be a watchman, standing our place, O Father, calling those things down. The darkness, Father, would not overcome, would not have anything to do with us spiritually, physically, financially. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for the victory that you've given us in your mighty name. God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We ask that it cover all of us, our minds, O God, come against the spirit of fear. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the victory that was sealed long ago in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we talk tonight about some things, we don't want to be fearful. We don't want to be anxious. We want to come in a in a place of victory. Maybe be aware, some will be aware of some things that they have not taken care of as of late, you know. And we need to go back and make sure that the foundation, as John talked about a couple of weeks ago, John Hayes talked about making sure our foundation is built on the rock. We've talked, this is the sixth in the series of the seven characteristics. This is going to end up being 2 weeks, by the way. I had too much material. Somebody told me, you know, you got a lot of material for 40 minutes of teaching. So I split this up into two, it's just too much. It's just too much. And so we've talked about seven characteristics of a disciple. Number one, doing the will of God. Number two, walking in covenant. Number three, bearing fruit. Number four, one who walks in love. Last week we talked about knows the Word of God. It's very important that we engraft, the engrafted Word is in our heart, that we do warfare with the Word of God. One cannot deny, and if we talk about the kingdom of God, everybody's there. We're there with the kingdom of God. Man, I love that God has a king. How many love that God has a kingdom and He's king? How many agree and love that God has set us in the kingdom as His citizens? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know we have the authority and the power and the anointing, and we, if we ask without doubting, we'll receive. Highly organized and effective is the kingdom of God. But also tonight, we need to know that the Satan also has a kingdom. Satan also has a kingdom, highly organized and effective when left unchecked by the king, by the kingdom people. Satan wants to be left unchecked and able to harass. He loves it when we don't draw attention to him and we kind of ignore him and hope he goes away. See? We have high praise, we have things, we have reading, we have prayer, we have all that. We say, well, if we just do that, if we focus on God, we can just get rid of it. Denominations have said once you're saved, you don't have any dealings with the enemy. The enemy just deals with unsaved people. I got news for you. He's already got unsaved people. That would be like doing warfare with somebody that you've already got in shackles. Doesn't make much sense. That's called torture. No, what he's in cahoots with, the enemy is in cahoots with, putting us to sleep, and so that he can attack us, attack our way of life, attack our victory, attack. Come on. But we have to do the warfare. Matthew 11:12 said, and Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We cannot speak of the victory of the Christian without the expressed warfare to both obtain and then maintain victory. Obtaining and maintaining victory. Eternal life and forgiveness was won on Calvary and cannot be added to. What freedom was won for us must now be appropriated. It's not that we don't have the freedom, it's that we need to appropriate the freedom in ourselves and the body of Christ to realize complete victory. God is looking for the church to walk in victory. And if we're always and forever on the defense fighting the enemy, we'll never get the things done that God called us to do. He called us to be on the offensive. We have the football. Come on, somebody. We've got the football. And the goal is to reach all the required things for this generation that God wants. And it starts right with you and I. As said before, the enemy has two main weapons. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 12 tonight. The first weapon in your notes is accusation. The first weapon is accusation. And he is using that weapon well right now today, 6 o'clock news today. He's using accusation against the enemy. We're narrow-minded, we're angry people, we hate people, we want everybody that doesn't agree with us to die. That's the accusation that's coming to us. The church. How many know we are not that way? We don't want anybody to die. Matter of fact, we're preaching the Word of God so nobody dies. We don't want anybody to go to hell. We want to love them and tell them the truth. But the enemy is relentless. He says, now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Well, who's talking but Satan? Because everybody knows, and Jesus says it in the very next verse, deception is the second, and he reveals the deception in Matthew 12:25. He says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Christ is giving us a window view. He's given us a bird's eye view of what the enemy has. Number one, he's not negating the fact that the enemy does have a kingdom and it does stand. If the enemy cast himself out and came against himself, it would not stand. See? But Jesus says that we have the victory if we take authority over him. Satan's kingdom is organized and effective without the authority of Christ coming to bear on his kingdom. He rules areas. He rules areas where there's big churches. He rules areas where there's small churches. He rules areas where there's many Christians or few Christians, because the church is not appropriated what God has given us. God has given us the authority to wipe the enemy clean away from us and have an open heaven over us. When those things happen, extended, effective, powerful revival, renewal, and spiritual freedom comes. And none of us in this room, I don't think, have experienced that to the extent that we need to. We're warfare all the time. I wake up and do warfare. How many wake up in the middle of the night? You know, there's warfare going on. So we need to be aware that just because we're Christians, just because God has blessed us, just because we get the goosebumps and the good feelings and the blessings, doesn't mean we're not at war. As a matter of fact, the more we get that, the more at war we're at, because the enemy is attacking us because we got big bullseyes on us. But we have the authority, and to the extent that we ignore it, and churches would say, you need to ignore it because the enemy is not after us. I got news for you. He's after us more than anything else. The late Derek Prince, in teaching about deliverance, came up with his own Ephesians chapter 6, the Derek Prince translation. And he says, I've taken a little bit of liberty here, he says in his book. But he said, I've taught Greek for years. I'm a Greek scholar. So here's what he says. If you'll turn to Ephesians 6, you'll see it in the New King James or the NIV. If you've got the non-inspired version, you'll have that. Or the American Standard. But this is the Derek Prince translation. I like it. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Derek says, for our wrestling match is not against persons with bodies, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading. For our wrestling match is not against persons with bodies, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority, against the world dominators of the present darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. We must remember, you and I, we must remember, no matter how vindictive and ferocious the enemy comes against us with people, our wrestling match is not with them. It's not with the person that's overcome by demons. They're being used by demons. And the minute that we start categorizing and hating people for their sexual orientation or their color or their political stance is the minute we've already lost. We've already lost the battle because we've come into the realm of the flesh. We start hate people. God loves them. See, they're overtaken just like you're overtaken, hopefully, by the Holy Ghost. They're overtaken by demonic hosts. And the minute that we confront them, we love them, and the enemy hates that. So we're coming against the enemy by loving and taking authority over him and speaking right to the enemy. There's many instances where people just need deliverance. I used to preach every week on Saturday out in the on the streets in Philly. And this one morning, a nice sunny morning, and we were preaching. This guy with long hair had often walked past us many times. He was part of my street congregation, although he never stopped. He was the walking congregation, you know. Filled with demons. Just filled with demons, but hungry. You could see the hunger in his eyes. He was drawn like a moth to the flame when I'd be preaching the word. He'd just walk past, slow down a little bit, and then he'd speed up. And so one morning he stopped. And he was lucid enough, because he was on drugs most of the time, but he was lucid enough, he said, pray for me. And I began to pray for him, and he was about three sheets to the winds. It was only about 10 o'clock, and he was drunk or high or whatever he was gone. Started to pray for him, and I said, Jesus, I thank you that you hold the keys to the kingdom. And all of a sudden, his eyes lit up, and another voice came out of him, and he said, yes, the keeper of the keys. And he started to quote scripture in King James English. It's a spirit manifesting right there on the street. I said, oh, man. I had a couple of people with me, and everybody took three steps back, you know. But we wrestled. We weren't wrestling him. It wasn't that he was. See, he was overtaken by spirits. And immediately we start taking authority over the spirits and casting them out. Because we have that authority, see. Separating somebody from that. For our wrestling match is not against persons with bodies. And the church has let the mudslinging get to that place where we're mad at people. People are deceived. People are weak. People are sin-filled. Just like you and I were. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. That means there's more than one heaven. Hello. In Paul, turned in 2 Corinthians 12:2. 2 Corinthians 12:2. Man, this is good stuff. I hope you're taking notes. If you've not heard this, or if this is rehearsal for you, or going back over it, you need to go back over it, because this is the hour we're living in. See, God called attention to our secretary to go back and check cameras, and we saw angels and demons for a purpose. See, it's for a purpose. He's trying to get to us. And we're sharing that information with you in hopes that you'll take that authority that God has given you. Because if he's attacking this building and he's attacking this church, he's attacking your family. He is attacking. He's just an attacker. I don't want to make you afraid because we're not afraid. See, we have all authority. And usually when you know the enemy's attacking, victory is right around the corner. And we get to give him a black eye. I'm all for that. I say bring it on. I've always been this guy, don't hide behind a bush. If you're going to attack me, come on with it. Come on with it, because I got the victory, see. And anytime you meet the enemy head on, he's going to lose. I just want to tell you that. If you got fear, man, he'll walk on fear. Give him an inch, he'll take your life. I don't fear at all. I wake up in the middle of the night, fear tries to strike me, man. I'm up. How dare you come against me and my wife and my home? You get out of here in Jesus' name. Better than Salmon X any day. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I know a man in Christ also 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise, third heaven, and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. So if there's a third heaven, it stands to reason there's a first and second. And not a third heaven and, you know, earth and then third heaven. We got rid of the first and second. No, first heaven is right here where we're at. This atmosphere that you and I walk in. Now, Satan was kicked out of the third heaven and occupies the air above us, the atmosphere above us, the second heaven, is occupied by demonic hosts. That's where all the warfare is going to take place. Whether it's in another dimension, it's in another layer, you don't have to think about it as being, you know, vertical. It's just there. And there's a great warfare that's happening for the souls of men. For the souls of men. So, Peter says in 2 Peter 2:1, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So there's a warfare going on, even in the way that the word is preached. And man, the airwaves is full of all kinds of things that need to be fought against. The second heaven warfare is going on, and we are invited to partake in it. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, not heavens, in heaven. How many know we don't need to bind anything in heaven where God is, in the third heaven? Do you ever think about that? We don't need to bind. We're not into binding. Oh God, that's okay. We got it. We don't want to disturb your slumber there on the throne. We're going to bind. No, we don't bind things in the third heaven. We bind things in the atmosphere above us. Heaven's already got the victory. God says, I'm sitting on my throne. I made earth my footstool till my enemies are taken care of. Everybody there? Is this good preaching or what? So this second heaven, we're doing warfare against the enemy that exists in the second heaven. Angelic hosts, fallen angels, they're fighting for the souls of men. Demons, meanwhile, are taking their cue from what's happening in heaven and trying to occupy places and people and areas and things and corporations and churches and governments because they have a penchant to want to exist here in me or something. Come on, somebody. And so it's all tied together. But when we do authority and we bind those things in the second heaven, it renders the demons useless here on earth. So Ephesians 4:10 said, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. You and I, my friend, are warring against the enemy in the heavenlies. The things that are happening here at New Life are a clear indication of the extent of warfare that exists. The things that are happening right now at New Life, and I would imagine we run around the room, it started in earnest back in December when the enemy attacked Danny Donaldson. It really took shape, and it's always been that way, but it hit one of our elders head on. Took his health away. He's coming back strong. I'm going to believe he's walking in here one of these days. Come up here and hit that keyboard and go, Ruha! But before that, I mean, the enemy attacked me, I could hardly walk. Enemy attacked our worship team. Enemy attacked our intercessors. Enemy is attacking. Why? Because we're making strides to do something to change the atmosphere over Rochester and Fulton County in this area. We're a threat to the enemy. That's why the enemy is attacking. He doesn't attack what's not a threat. See, demons are assigned to rule over Rochester and will remain until challenged and ousted by the ruling authority. You and I are the ruling authority in this area. God's not going to send angels to do the work. He sends angels to do the warfare in the heavenly places, in that second heaven. But in this area, He's given to us the authority to take authority over the demons to silence them and get them out. Are you seeing this? If ignoring the devil worked, man, we'd have some powerful stuff going on. If ignored, because we've done it for years, we've ignored him. Some of us ignore him in our own lives. We'll talk about that. We're going to get into that next week, but some of us ignore him in our own lives. Listen, if somebody tells you if you keep living the lifestyle you're living, either in lust or overeating or anything, that if somebody tells you if you keep doing that, you're not going to be healthy, you're going to die, and you keep doing it, two things are going on. One is you just don't care anymore, or two, you've got demon problems. I'm a Christian, I can't have demonic problems. Yes, you can. He will attack, and he does attack. Give him an inch, he'll take your life. He can't possess us, but he can oppress, he can obsess, he can harass. Whatever he can do to get us off being and off the call of God, he'll do. And many up until now, and I want to bring it because, look, I spent a lot of my time casting out demons, a lot of my ministry casting out demons. And for one reason or another, we have not gone head on. And I'm telling you that you need to go head on in your house and get rid of them. Because what we're asking to do, see, if the enemy has something in us, then we have no, it's again, how can the enemy cast out the enemy? You can't do it. Nine sons of Sceva. What they tried to do, they tried to cast out demons. Demon says, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he stripped them naked and kicked them out. Seven naked Sceva prince running down the street. Priests running down the street. Ah! We laugh at that, but that's exactly where the church is today. We're not running naked in our clothes. We're running naked because we don't have any covering, because we don't have authority. And God says it's a joke to you. It's a religious thing to you. This is not religion. This is kingdom against kingdom. Amen. This is the kingdom of God being planted in this area, and we've got to get rid of the kingdom that's been allowed to be planted in the area. Spiritual inertia is the same as physical inertia. Two things cannot occupy the same place at the same time. God is not going to share His kingdom with the kingdom of darkness. We must bind the strong man. And this holds true. We're going to talk about this next week. But this holds true in your own life. If you've got things in your own life that keep recurring, you need to bind that thing. That's a strong man in your life. Don't ignore it. Don't hope it goes away. Don't hope that, man, I hope the pastor preaches the right message and I go up to the altar and it gets cast out. Man, I hope that happens. Sometimes I'm not negating that. It does. There's miracles and I love that. Man, when I was really, really big, I read this story about a guy that was in a meeting in Australia and lost 200 pounds in a meeting. I said, man, give me a ticket. I'll go over there. I did. I said, man, I'll go over there and lose 200 pounds. I won't have to go on any diet or anything. I can still eat my strawberry shortcake and ice cream at 9 o'clock and lose 200 pounds. Man, that's a way to do it. Exception, not the rule. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? We've got to take authority over the strong man. I learned this early on in my Christian walk. It used to scare me bananas with demons. I mean, first run-in I had with a demon made the hair stand on the back of my head, and I said, no thanks, let somebody else do it. I was in the front seat of my car. I had three guys in the back, and I was casting a demon out of this lady. She turns and goes, I don't even want to say what she said, in Lucifer's voice. I said, Satan, come out. She goes, not Satan, Lucifer, in this really deep voice. And looked at me. I said, I'm out of here, man. I'm going. I don't need this. And it scared me, you see. It scared me because I didn't realize to the extent that this thing is serious business. Yeah. Serious business. And then I had the audacity as a young man to go over to India. And I got the reputation, because nobody really knew me there, that I was a demon caster outer. DCA, for those who don't know. DCO. DCO. And for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I cast demons out of everything that didn't move. Every time there was demonic, they said, hey, Rick, come here and cast this demon out. I was like, okay, come out in Jesus' name. I wrestled, was thrown to the ground, was spat upon, and had all kinds of encounters with demons. And I said, well, God, that's pretty neat. Demons are like that in India. They're not that way in America. They're not that way here. Demons aren't that way here. They're more intelligent. And you know what? That's not too far from the truth. You might think I'm crazy. That's okay. Pray. The next time you sit down to watch the 6 o'clock news, whatever you do, just pray and ask the Lord to give you eyes to see. Yes. Watch some of the politicians and some of the people that they interview, and you can see demons speaking. I mean, it's just plain as the nose on your face. That's not that person speaking. It's a demon. God, somebody. By the time I got back from India, I was like, man, these things exist, man. God wants to ship them all over the third world countries. When I got back, I started to see them manifest even in people I was in ministry with. I began to see the problems that I had with people I was in ministry with, the church I was on staff with, wasn't just them. I wasn't fighting people with bodies, persons with bodies. I was fighting the demons that were fighting them. Wow. Is demonic warfare real? Yes, it is. We must bind the strong man. Matthew 18:18 says, "As surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." God did not give us that kind of authority so that we could play tiddlywinks and cast demons out of dogs. No, we get rid of demons not only in the individual but in areas. We get a picture of what happened when Satan was cast out of heaven, and the first book of the Bible chronologically was Job. Do you remember what happened to Job? God said to Satan, "Where have you been?" Satan said, "I've been walking to and fro." He wasn't allowed to occupy the heavens, the third heaven. He was in the second heaven. He said, "I've been walking to and fro. Look at Job. I've been checking out the earth." And Job is a man that if you took your hand off him, he'd curse you. We start to get a picture of what Satan was allowed to do. And if you read Job, it's laborious. We just finished it in our yearly reading. I mean, you know, that's a laborious book to read. How many ever read Job and thought, man, I've lived some of that life? It's okay to raise your hand. I've lived some of that life, Job. And we realize. But it's good that the whole book is written, because at the end of the book, Job is greatly blessed. See, he still holds sway over the first heaven with unregenerate man and those who have uncleanness in them by demonic oppression. Satan is a usurper. He usurps the dominion of the world. Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, "And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you,' he said to Jesus, 'and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.'" Now the enemy wasn't lying, or he would have been rebuked by Jesus. The enemy was given authority and given all the kingdoms of the world to give as he pleased until Jesus died and took all of that back. But to the extent that we believe the enemy has, because what is he? He's an angel of light. Biggest killer in America, psychosomatic illness. People die from stuff they believe they have. Say it long enough, it manifests. It's hard to hear, but it's real. Remember, we're creative. We keep saying what the enemy says. Pretty soon it comes to pass. Please keep Melissa. I don't know. How many know Melissa Chappell? Melissa Chappell has been diagnosed with cancer. Please keep her in prayer. Please keep her lifted up. She needs all the prayers we can, you know. She's healed in Jesus' name. They're getting ready to go to Ireland July 7th. They don't need this mess. So we come against it in Jesus' name, by the way. So he usurps the dominion of the world whenever he gets a chance. Number two, he usurps the kingdoms of this world. Luke 11:17 says, "But he, knowing their thoughts, and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls.'" The enemy is into separating and dividing the body of Christ. One of the things that we're fighting furiously as pastors in this community is being in unity. We come together, we're in unity. We pray. Some of the things that's being said, I just am amazed. I'm trying to bite my tongue, so I'm not saying. I'm just hearing things from people that have been here a long time that finally are waking up. And they've been put in their place by the religious things that have not been effective for years. But how many know? Habits are the easiest things to do. Get in a rut and do the same thing. A rut's nothing more than a grave with the two ends kicked out. And we're climbing up out of the rut. And there's good things happening. There's unity happening. We're taking authority over the spirits here in this community. And we're seeing great strides taking place. God showed us that just about a year and a half ago. We had prayer. We walked about a four block place. And then the very next week, they had drug busts on every block we walked around. Meth houses were closed down. Two meth houses were closed down as a result of that 45-minute prayer that we decided to do. And shamedly, we've not done it enough. We need to do that a lot. Saturday morning, we're going to have a prayer walk here. Meeting at what time, Mick? 9:30. And we're going to walk around Rochester. You need to be a part of that. Because when we take authority, things happen, see? They say, well, God, you have the authority. Why don't you just do it? Because he's given this first heaven to us. He's given us the authority. Number three, he usurps the worship of God. 1 Corinthians 10:20, rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Sadly, just read an article again on some of the top 40 music being played in churches on Sunday morning. Secular songs being played so they'll attract the sinner. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's like putting poison in bait and catching fish and poisoning them. And then eating the poison. That doesn't make much sense, does it? I mean, I'm talking about charismatic Pentecostal, full gospel churches that decided they're playing top 40 music that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, so that it'll attract the sinner. Come on. Playing right into the enemy's hands. Because why? He wants to usurp the worship of God. Number four, he wants to usurp the temples of God. This is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I was preaching in a area of Dallas quite a number of years ago. And I was preaching hard, man. I was preaching against sin. And it was right in front of a gay bar. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of the bar running and just begins to throw up on the sidewalk. This green, ugly stuff. Man, he manifested. We prayed for him. And he was a third-year Bible school student in Assembly of God, Waxahachie Assembly of God. Spirit-filled Christian. Filled with demons. Grew up in a church. Grew up in Assembly of God church. We cast demons out of him, man. He was made free that night. He was set free. Demons come out of him. Because he's in the bar and he could hear me preaching. And it just hit his heart, man. He ran. He ran. He said, I want free. I want free. I want free. Amen. I want free. I want free. So he could say when he finally got composed himself, I want free. I want free. Lay hands on me. I want free. I don't want these in me anymore. The enemy is after the temples of God. He's not after the people he's already got. They're already in prison. The preaching of the gospel will make them free. But taking authority over the enemy will set the captives free that have been taken captive by their own lust and their own sin. Number five, he usurps his own and establishes his own religions. Jude 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy loves to establish his own religion. I don't have time. I don't have time. It makes me cry. Sometimes some of the stuff I watch that Christians tell me to watch. And I watch it and it's just so demonic and so fleshy and so useless. It's not the gospel. Come on. God says to be perfect and be holy. We be perfect and holy. We don't live ungodly lives and then just go and like a candy store. God, give me this, give me that. Give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. It's just not going to happen that way. But many people buy the lie. See, Satan is building his own religion. He comes as an angel of light. Number six, he has his own Messiah. Satan has his own Messiah. John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. It's the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. Turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. He has his own Messiah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Everybody okay? I didn't lose anybody, did I? Basketball game's not till 9 o'clock, so. Isn't that right, Mick? 8:30, somewhere around there. The Warriors and the Cavaliers. Appropriate for what we're talking about. The Warriors, Cavaliers. You'll get that later. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11 says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friend, that's talking about Christians. Wake up and smell the coffee. It's talking about Christians. It's talking about people that are being led away by their own desires and their own lusts, and they're buying the lie, and God will send them a strong delusion after dealing with them and after convicting them and after the preaching of the Word. Preaching of the Word is a sweet-smelling savor to those who are being saved, but to those who are condemned, it stinks. No, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that I've got to take authority and have discipline over my own body. I don't want to hear that I have to have discipline over my own spirit. I want to hear that I have to have discipline and repent. I repented once, I don't repent again. I'm going to the church that where they tell me I don't ever have to repent. I can live with this woman and not marry her and do all kinds of things. I can steal money and I can still get to heaven. I like that. That's the religion I want. They're filled with demons. My own personal life, after I was saved, I was struggling in this area. Man, I've told the story before, but one of these days I'll tell the whole story. But I mean, I was trying to get rid of this thing, and I just couldn't get a hold of it. And I'd fallen into sin, and I'd fallen into sin. And so I went to one of the professors, and I said, man, I need help. You're teaching deliverance, so cast this thing out of me, would you? I was like, you know, get rid of this thing. Come to the hands of me. He said, oh, I won't do it. I said, what do you mean you won't do it? You're teaching deliverance. You said you have authority over demons. Get this thing out of me. He says, I won't do it. He said, we could spend hours and try to find out. You need to find out what this demon is. And when you give it a name, when God points it out to you, stop being lazy, go home and fast and pray, and then come back and talk to me. I left there. I wanted to give him the five fingers of fellowship. Man, I paid to be in your class, and you're telling me. Knock you out. I went home and talked to my wife, and she said, you know, that makes sense. Maybe you ought to fast and pray. Didn't you? And I did, man. It was the first time I went on a 40-day fast. I said, I'm getting rid of this thing. Man, was it hard. Tell a funny story. That first time, there's a bag of chips, Lay's potato chips, on top of the refrigerator, 10-day of fasting. I walked past that thing, grabbed it. Had about 10 handfuls before I got convicted by the Holy Spirit. True confessions. Man, they tasted good too. But anyway, after I got in a room and I just cried out to God, man, during that time, if there was a time where I skipped class, I prayed in a janitor's broom closet, and I prayed with wet mops all around me. And finally I got a name. Finally I got a name in the Spirit. And I knew it because Christ manifested it to me several times. So I set an appointment with the man of God, the professor. I went and I said, I know what it is. He said, what is it? And I named it. Man, we prayed 20 minutes later. Bam! I'm free. I'm free. And I mean, it was so glorious. I walked across campus. I felt like there was a big hole in me. The air, the wind of the Holy Spirit was just cruising through me. I said, man, I love this stuff. Christ wants to have us free. Come on, somebody. Satan manifests in deaf spirits, blind spirits, the infirm, deceiving, jealous, treachery, seducing spirits, insane spirits, unclean spirits. He manifests all that. Especially when you go to third world countries. There's bunches of deaf people and blind people because they don't eat right and they don't take vitamins in it. So there's all kinds of deafness and spiritual blindness and physical blindness. The infirm, deceiving spirits, which run rampant here in America. Deception is running rampant. Jealous spirits. Half the churches in Fulton County were started because of anger and jealousy. I don't like the way you do things. I'm going down here and buy a building and start my own church. Tell the truth and shame the devil. The demonic must be confronted and must be done with authority. We have got to come against it with authority. See, the prayers of the righteous avail much. I believe it's because of the intercessors and the prayers that are praying, angels in front of this building, driving back the powers of darkness, because we're praying and standing our ground, and we'll continue to do so. His initial approach in us as believers is through our mind. If he can get us to think things that are wrong, he's got access to us. He does not want total possession or death. That's not what he's after. He's after, he wants to control the mind, and he will wait until he can exact the most damage. He'll start telling us we're no good. He'll start telling us we're sick. He'll start telling us we don't need to discipline ourselves. We don't need to do those kind of things. And we come down sick and we want prayer. We get alleviated a little bit. He backs off into a corner. No, we need to take authority and say, you don't have any authority in my body, in my mind, in my spirit, in my finances. You have to go in Jesus' name. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have to get mad. See? Anger, that kind of anger needs to happen in the body of Christ again. We need to get angry that the enemy has done what he's done. I'll dare him do what he's done to good brothers and sisters. I'll dare that he's come into church and ruined us with sickness and with fighting and with deception and jealousy and all of those things. I'll dare him. The demonic must be confronted and must be done with authority. Demon oppression can and does hold many Christians captive. Those without Christ are open to whatever manifestation the enemy wants. Man, when I was, before I was a Christian, I mean, I was a good sinner. I let any demon come in and use me for anything he wanted. Come on, every sin. Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. And when I became a Christian, God said, you can't do that anymore. You're a new creation. You can't do that. I mean, now you've got to rebuke. Now you've got to put off anger and malice and jealousy and strife and envy and lust. You've got to put those things off. I don't want to put them off. You've got to put them off. Now, you're not a citizen of the darkness anymore. You're a citizen of heaven. Let myself go was praying. God said, you can either come home now or you can come home when I want you to. But you better get your body in order. If you don't, you're coming home now. Hardest thing I ever had to do is get my body in order and buffet my body and strengthen myself in the Lord. Those that are saved either bring demonic strongholds with them or they develop as a result of unconfessed sin or temptation to become sin, and then a stronghold develops in their lives. Some of you tonight have got things beginning to stir in your spirit, man. You say, well, I've tried to get authority over this area of my life and I don't have authority. One of the things you need to realize, it's demonic. It's not your flesh. It's not discipline. You can't cast out the flesh and you can't discipline a demon. If you've done everything else, you can't. You've got to take authority over that demon spirit. Because they come and occupy. And we'll talk about that next week. Not a possession. The enemy can't have my spirit, man. I'm born again in Christ. I'm saved. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. But my mind, will, and emotions are saturated with the demons if I don't take authority. If you have struggled with sin and have not been able to gain the victory, it may be that you're in need of cleansing and deliverance. And what God is calling us into, what God is calling us to do, to fight the enemy, we don't want to have the enemy anywhere near us. In us, around us, anywhere. Come on, somebody. We need to be victory in all of our lives. That's all of us. And I'm not going to rest till it happens. We need to have a victorious church, an overcoming church. You know what? And I'm just simple enough to believe it can happen. That not one is left out. But it comes through these doors and identifies it with the church. He's going to walk in freedom. That's easier said than. And we got. It's time to take discipline over our houses, over our temples. It's time to take discipline. Say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to give myself to that. I'm not going to set any evil before me. I'm not going to eat that thing. I'm not going to do that thing. I'm not going to speak that thing. I'm not going to get on that social network. I'm not going to do those things. No, because I am going to be the righteous of God in Christ. I am, and I'm going to walk as if I am. Do not condemn yourself for the struggle. Recognize it and get free from it. Don't be condemned. Don't come, because God has made a way of escape for you. No temptation has come upon you. And if you've given into that temptation time and time again, I don't have time, but I gave a list here. In the Old Testament, demons in Scripture, jealousy, ill will, distressing, lying, perverse, deep sleep, heaviness, harlotry, unclean spirits you can see. In the New Testament, mute spirits, deaf and dumb spirits, infirmity, divination, deceiving, fear, error. And I gave a whole list of things. Arthritis, asthma, cancer, crippling, epilepsy, head pain, migraines, sinusitis, thrombosis, claustrophobia, adultery. Things that I've run to in the past. That needs taking authority. Take authority. Those are spirit beings. They're disembodied spirits that take authority over your body, over areas of your life, over your mind. Envy, gossip, hopelessness, murder, rebellion, religion. Christ says, if you look at someone and said, I wish they were dead, or say a rock or a fool is, or say, I'll kill you. Nobody in their right mind would say that if they stopped and thought about it. But if there's that kind of spirit in you, you need to get rid of it. You need to jettison it. It's okay. It's a tool that God has given us. Envy. Spirit of religion. Oh my. Here in this area, I've noticed things, and just in 3 years, and you guys probably have a lot more, but the spirit of pharmacia is thick over this place, man. Drugs are, wow. Spirit of pharmacia, people taking over-the-counter drugs and illegal drugs. People not taking two or three pills, but pill after pill after pill, that changed the way they think, the way they walk. Come on, someone. It's the spirit that's over this area. It needs to be taken authority over. Spirit of religion. Wow. Strong over this area. I go to church. Of course I'm going to heaven. See that place over there? I've been there for 20 years. Do you pray? No. Do you pray with your wife? No. Do you know where John 3:16 is? Yes. Do you know where? Have you read the Bible? No, I haven't read the Bible. It's too difficult. I wait till I go to church and let somebody teach. Hello? Spirit of religion. God wants somebody. Spirit of poverty is thick in this area. Spirit of poverty. People just living hand to mouth. And over almost 50% of the school children go home hungry. It's a spirit. Are you there tonight? Spirit of divorce. Thick in this area, man. Spirit of divorce is just has invaded America, but invaded Fulton County in this area. Spirit of divorce is powerful, man. People just walking away from marriages after years of being together. Are you there? Come on. Anybody in their right mind that looks at their family and says, I want a divorce, and I just don't want my kids anymore, I don't want my wife or husband anymore. How many know that's demonic? God has made us one. I kept my mouth shut for a long time, but I see it. I see it clearly. Spirit of sickness. You don't believe we have a spirit of sickness we're fighting. These are entities. These are powers, dominions, arches over this area. If you don't believe that's true, pick a Saturday morning, go over and walk through Kroger or Walmart. Watch how many people are sick. Mentally. Physically sick. Spirit of sickness over this area. And we need to take authority over. You still love me? Come on. This is where I live. I love this place. See? Those are fruits. We need to get to the root. One of the roots that we need to take care of in this area is rebellion. People rebelling against things. When you want a divorce and not stick it out, rebellion. When you want religion and not relationship, rebellion. When you want drugs to take care of what you could discipline yourself and take care of by healing power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, that's a root, rebellion. And I could go on and on and on. But make sure you're clean in God. It's okay. Sit down. Go through through these notes. Go through. Pray. Be bold enough to say, pray. God, if there's anything in my life that I need to take authority over and get rid of, I take authority. And when God shows you, don't be afraid. Take authority over it. The demons have no power over us. Only when we think they do. Only when they deceive us and they say, I'm allowed to be here. No, they're not allowed to be here. I'm a blood-soaked Christian. You're not allowed anywhere near me. No, you can't come. No, I won't give in. It's time to cleanse the temples. We're going to talk about next week the steps to make sure that our temples are clean. Part two of a characteristic that makes us a disciple of Christ is one engaged in warfare. And I'd like to tell you, when that's done, your warfare is over. No, it's not. We are going to be at warfare until we step out of this shell, which I personally can't wait for. I was out running today, you know. I said, God, you know, I'm trying to keep this body in shape. And I turned 62 in a couple of weeks, trying to keep it in shape, man. And I said, God, I can't wait to get my glorified body. He says, you can wait. Just keep running. Come on, somebody. Man, let's make it the best time we ever had. Let's make this last couple of years, however long we have, because, man, you can see the storm clouds coming. You can feel it. You can see it in the heavenlies. You can see it in the heavenly places. Some people say we'll be hungry. Some people say we'll be in the dark. I don't know about that, but I know that there's a clash coming. You know what I say? Bring it on. Bring it on. Let's put our dukes up and take it out. In Jesus' name. See? In Jesus' name, we have the victory. Always. Father, I thank you for the victory that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that as disciples of yours, as people that have walked with you this long, these many years, God, we've decided to walk in freedom. No, Lord, we're not going to be shackled in any way, shape, manner, or form. And so give us sensitivity, spiritual sensitivity, to come against these things, no matter how small they are. Because, Lord, even an inch, if the enemy has an inch, he'll take our life. And so we don't give him anything. He has nothing in us. He has nothing in our lives. He has nothing in our finances, in our spirit, man. He has nothing in our dedication to you. He has nothing in our flesh. We're not given to overeating. We're not given to lust. We're not given to pornography. We're not given to anything like that, Father. We jettison those things in Jesus' name. Father, we take control of our own bodies that you've given us authority over. We say, enemy, you do not have anything in us. We come against you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the victory. That's ours by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen.